Heal the world by healing yourself. Over a 2-year period, groups of about 7,000 people gathered 3 different times. And during these meetings, they were able to reduce all acts of terrorism worldwide by a phenomenal 72%. Obviously, the tactical value of such a winning strategy would be of massive importance to national security. Were these people diplomats, politicians, or military planners plotting out the next offensive? Were they peace activists, diving down into the trenches and rescuing people in a hail of gunfire? Were they protesters, gathering in front of government buildings and demanding change? What exactly did they do? The answer may well change everything we think we know about the way the universe really works. These people got together and meditated with thoughts of love and peace. Bear in mind that this was a scientific study published and accepted in the Journal of Offender Rehabilitation. They ruled out cycles, trends, weather, weekends, holidays, and all other variables. The 72% reduction in terrorism had to be caused by them meditating and nothing else. In another example, violent crime in Washington, D.C. was decreased by up to 23.6% over a 2-month period in the summer of 1993, as the number of participants rose from 800 to 4,000, despite the fact that violent crime had been increasing before they met. As soon as their meetings ended, the crime level started going back up again. The likelihood that this effect could have been caused by a chance variation in crime levels was less than 2 parts per billion. And all other factors, including temperature, precipitation, weekends, and police and community anti-crime activities, were ruled out. As of 1993, 50 different scientific studies had rigorously proven that this effect really works over the preceding 30 years. They were published in mainstream, peer-reviewed journals and showed the meditators had created improvements in health and quality of life, as well as decreases in accidents, crime, war, and other such factors. I propose that this effect works because we're all sharing the same mind to some degree. There appears to be a balance between private thoughts and information we acquire directly from the source field. Let's not forget the Institute of HeartMath's experiments, in which those people with the greatest coherence affected the brainwave patterns and biorhythms of others who were close to them. If 7,000 people can reduce worldwide terrorism by 72%, this suggests the source field is significantly biased in favor of positive emotions rather than negative ones. Therefore, anytime someone tries to tell you it's hopeless, that we're all going to die, that some dream or prophecy said we have no ability to control the outcome of our future here on Earth, I highly recommend you don't fall into the trap of indulging in such faceless fear. We can scientifically prove that by simply focusing on a positive attitude in your own life, you are helping to reduce war, terrorism, suffering, and death. There is also compelling evidence from Russia that severe weather, earthquakes, volcanic activity, and the like can also be reduced by the effects of consciousness, as we will see. Dr. LeBerge thought the ogre attacking him in his dream was really someone else, the villain, the enemy, the other. However, once he became lucid, he realized the ogre was just a mirror of himself, and love was the key to solving the problem. Now we know that simple meditations on love and peace can actually change the behavior of people out in the world, ordinary folks living their lives, apparently making free will decisions. These are people we will never see, never meet, never know. When even a small number of us move into a state the meditators called pure consciousness, there is less death, less terrorism, and less warfare. According to Saint John of the Cross, from 16th century Spain, a little of this pure love is more precious to God and the soul, and more beneficial to the church, even though it seems one is doing nothing, than all these other works put together. By works, he means anything we normally would do in our attempts to help the world. In a book called The Cloud of Unknowing, a revered English priest in the 14th century referred to this same state as pure contemplation and said, "The whole of mankind is wonderfully helped by what you are doing in ways you do not understand. It is more profitable to your friends, natural and spiritual, dead or alive, and without it, all the rest is virtually worthless." Now that we see how strongly a small group of people can affect everyone's behavior on a mass scale, the idea that the real world is like a lucid dream or a hologram doesn't seem so crazy sounding after all. What if the rules of the dream world actually do apply to the physical world? If so, then all these global disasters may actually be symbolic reflections of our own inner distress, our fear, pain, sorrow, and anger. After years of my own meditation, I finally concluded on a deep level that our sadness comes from a very convincing illusion, the seemingly inescapable truth that we feel alone. The evidence I have already presented here suggests that we all have a soul, constantly watching over us, while also enjoying its own experiences, thoughts, and travels. I believe any one of us can reach out to this greater aspect of our own being and develop the ability to gain reliable spiritual guidance, to understand the greater plan and purpose we may have chosen to fulfill before we ever came here. We might also avoid a great deal of needless suffering in the process. However, when we resist our purpose, we only encounter more and more pain, difficulty, and seemingly random bad luck. According to Edgar Cayce, the noteworthy psychic reader who practiced in the early 20th century, ignorance does not grant us an exemption from the great spiritual laws. And this includes the law of karma, in which whatever we measure out to others will be measured back to us. If we sufficiently violate someone's free will, we may require another lifetime to balance ourselves out by enduring similar hardships. Cayce also said we can eliminate this entire cycle of karma by practicing true forgiveness and acceptance, both of ourselves and of others. That, ultimately, appears to be the core purpose we are all here to achieve. And if it were easy, we wouldn't require multiple incarnations to figure it out. I realize the label God for some people is emotionally charged, although you may now be thinking differently about such a foolish notion after reading these last few chapters. Either way, the Cayce readings used this word to discuss the universal intelligence that we have been investigating in this book. Cayce's readings, which allegedly came from a greater part of his own being that spoke while he was under hypnosis, said all the disturbances in the world today, wars, terrorism, government corruption, natural disasters, earthquakes, were all part of a big story that we are being told. It's a story about ourselves and our relationship to the universe. 4. As ye do unto others, ye do to thy Maker. And when those activities dishonor thy fellow man, ye dishonor thy God, and it brings all of those forms of disturbance that exist in the world today. When there has been in the earth those groups that have sufficiently desired and sought peace, peace will begin. It must be within self. The Casey readings spoke of God as a universal loving intelligence that does not discriminate against anyone, nor should we. More wars, more bloodshed have been shed over the racial and religious differences than over any other problem. These too must go the way of all others, and man must learn, whether they be called of this or that sect or schism or ism or cult, the Lord is one. According to the Casey readings, you don't need to get a group of 7,000 people together in order to be effective. The reality of our greater shared mind is powerful enough that even 10 souls can do an amazing amount of good for the planet. Man's answer to everything has been power, power of money, power of position, power of wealth, power of this, that, or the other. This has never been God's way, will never be God's way. Rather, little by little, line upon line, here a little, there a little, each thinking rather of the other fellow, this is what has kept the world in the various ways of being intact. Where there were 10 even, many a city, many a nation has been kept from destruction. Dr. Hugh Len, a Hawaiian psychiatrist, discovered a similar technique that could substantially increase health and happiness in the psychiatric ward he managed. It didn't start out very well. That ward where they kept the criminally insane was dangerous. Psychologists quit on a monthly basis. The staff called in sick a lot or simply quit. People would walk through that ward with their backs against the wall, afraid of being attacked by patients. Dr. Len's job allowed him to be completely isolated from the ward. He reviewed patients' case files to prescribe medication and/or treatment plans with the staff. Nonetheless, by simply holding each patient's file in his hand and practicing the Ho'oponopono technique we are about to discover, he got results. After a few months, patients that had to be shackled were being allowed to walk freely. Others who had to be heavily medicated were getting off their medications. And those who had no chance of ever being released were being freed. Not only that, but the staff began to enjoy coming to work. Absenteeism and turnover disappeared. We ended up with more staff than we needed because patients were being released and all the staff was showing up to work. Today, that ward is closed. What exactly was Dr. Len doing while he reviewed each patient's file? He simply took on their pains and problems as if they were his own and worked on healing those issues within himself. I just kept saying, "I'm sorry," and "I love you," over and over again. Dr. Len was practicing his own variation of a Hawaiian spiritual practice called Ho'oponopono. Dr. Len recommends going inside to wherever you feel hurt by a particular person or issue, and then saying each of these four statements with as much feeling as possible, thinking through the real reasons why you genuinely feel this way. I love you. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. That's all it takes. You heal the other person by healing yourself. And this apparently works because in the greater sense, you are both sharing the same mind. Proof, belief, and hope. I've encountered some very sarcastic people in my life. They don't want to hear about spirituality. They don't care about religion. They see a higher purpose as nothing more than ignorant nonsense. They use science as a weapon against anyone who believes there is a loving purpose to the universe, that we are more than just meat computers who struggle for a while on Earth before our awareness fades into a black nothingness. At the other extreme, I have met religious fundamentalists, including Christians and occultists, who can be just as aggressive and just as certain that they must be right. As soon as they hear the word God, or any of a number of other words, they feel like they automatically know exactly what that means. And there's no point in arguing with them. It's as if everybody were in a big horse race, and we all want our lucky number to take home the big prize. Religious folks may even try to use the scientific breakthroughs in this book as proof that their small group of chosen or elect will soar up into the heavens while the rest of us burn in eternal hellfire. Dr. David B. Barrett spent 40 years and enlisted the help of 444 specialists to discover that there are over 10,000 different religions in the world, of which 150 have at least 1 million followers. Dr. Barrett went and visited most of these 238 nations and territories in person. He found that within Christianity alone, there are an incredible 38,830 denominations. So with almost 50,000 groups in competition, 38,830 splinters of Christianity, combined with 10,000 other world religions, how many of them honestly believe that unless you see things their way, you might as well kiss your butt goodbye? Imagine how quickly Christianity would have failed if Bible scholars could quote Jesus as saying, "Love thy neighbor as thyself, as long as he's a Christian. Otherwise, go ahead and kill him. You'll be doing us both a favor, believe me." I have a strong feeling that as the source field investigations become increasingly mainstream, no longer suppressed by ignorance, threats, or worse, the positive effects will rapidly increase. We don't have to wish that our leaders and politicians will obey the campaign promises we voted for in the first place. We don't need to sit by and wait for a messiah or divine intervention in the hopes that we will be rescued from some terrible fate that is outside our control. Casey's interpretation of the Book of Revelation confirmed that the earth changes are not merely random events. They are a real-world story of our struggle to love and respect each other. In reading 281:16, Casey's source said, "The visions, the experiences, the names, the churches, the places, the dragons, the cities in the Book of Revelation, all are but emblems of those forces that may war within the individual in its journey through the material." And what about the dreaded Antichrist that so many Christians and conspiracy theorists shout from the rooftops about? Question: in what form does the Antichrist come, spoken of in Revelation? Answer: in the spirit of that opposed to the spirit of truth. The fruits of the spirit of the Christ are love, joy, obedience, long-suffering, brotherly love, kindness. Against such there is no law. The spirit of hate, the Antichrist, is contention, strife, fault-finding, lovers of self, lovers of praise. Those are the Antichrist, and take possession of groups, masses, and show themselves even in the lives of men. The Casey readings also gave dramatic new insight into the devastating events of the tribulation that many people, Christians or otherwise, are expecting. The existing catastrophes we are already experiencing now, the earthquakes, volcanoes, tsunamis, hurricanes, tornadoes, are said to be a collective mirror of what each of us is going through. This again demonstrates the principle of a shared consciousness. The Great Tribulation and periods of tribulation, as given, are the experiences of every soul, every entity. They arise from influences created by man through activity in the sphere of any sojourn. I think hope is a good thing, as it leads us into knowing through direct experience that all is well. And if we feel that everything is not well, then we can do something about it. Within this book is information that unites the 38,830 religious sects beautifully and shows that each of them have the truth in some form, including their most magnificent prophecies of a golden age that will soon arrive in our future.